into the face of Mr. McMahon. Uh-oh.
There are no long balls between The Rock and Mr. McMahon, as we all know. And this is a moment.
Finally, The Rock has come back to Oakland!
The Rock! Oh.
Vince McMahon, what's wrong? You look a little surprised. Were you not expecting The Rock? Were you expecting Steve Austin? Did you think that Steve Austin was just going to walk down that ramp? Is that what you thought?
As a matter of fact,
it doesn't matter what you thought!
No, no! That's The Rock, all right! He's back!
Because you see, what you're bound to realize, it was not Stone Cold Steve Austin that came walking down that ramp. No, no, no. It was a living full Brahma bull. Jabroni eating, pie beating, eating. The Rock says he's walking fast, whooping ass. People chant The Rock! And seeing as The Rock is a people's champ, and he came out here to address the people and only the people, you've got 15 seconds to get out of this ring starting now. One.
Scalded owner.
Welcome back to Raw, Vince.
Now The Rock show. Sounds to me like.
Oh, and before you leave, take this with you.
Oh, look out, Vince! Oh! Where was he?
Mr. McMahon, quick exit from his own ring.
Expect the Brony beating pie.
And we all know The Rock is supposed to be on SmackDown. We all know that The Rock wasn't supposed to return until next month. But considering what happened last week, The Rock will be damned if he didn't come here the very first opportunity he had and speak to each and every single one of you live.
This is live. Anything can happen.
Okay, 5 years ago when The Rock first walked into this company, he had one idea, and that idea was really simple, and that was just to become the absolute best this industry has ever seen. And I will continue to work my ass off to make sure that happens. Because you see, The Rock says this, that's the very same passion, that very same fire that I have in my eyes is the very same fire that I see every time I walk in the back of that locker room. Every single time I walk into a Raw locker room, every single time I step into a SmackDown locker room, all those guys are here because they want to be here.
That's right.
Everyone on SmackDown, all those guys on SmackDown, they are there because they want to be there. They get in this ring, they bust their ass, you love them for that, and they do it because they love to do it.
You gotta love it.
So The Rock says this, if there's anybody in the back, I swear to God, I honestly mean this, if there's anybody in the back that does not want to be with this company, if there's anyone at SmackDown that does not want to be with this company, then just like the slogan says, you get the F out.
Oh, man! Oh. Get the F out, JR. Rock is on a roll.
And you see, Vince McMahon, if you're really serious about moving on, well, The Rock will do you one better. Not only does The Rock want to move on, but he wants to move up. So The Rock will tell you what, The Rock is scheduled to return July 11th on SmackDown, but guess what? Newsflash, change of plans. This Sunday, The Rock, King of the Ring.
What? Oh, God, The Rock. The Rock of the King of the Ring, King.
What's again?
This Sunday, The Rock, back of the King of the Ring.
You see, it's really simple. I've got WWE in my blood. The Rock was born WWE. The Rock goes back history with the WWE. Which, you know, it's really simple. It's like this. 50 years from now, when The Rock is 80 years old, when The Rock has to put in the people's dentures, he's got to use the people's walker to come walking down that ramp just like that. The Rock will still step right in the middle of this ring and say, just ring it. The Rock has WWE in his blood from his late grandfather, my grandfather, the late High Chief Peter Maivia, who started his career right here in the Bay Area.
He was a great one.
To my dad's soul man, Rocky Johnson, all the way down to the most electrifying man in sports and entertainment. The fact of the matter is this. Austin can take his ball and go home. But as far as The Rock is concerned, as far as I'm concerned, this is home.
Hey, this is Colt Cabana, and you're listening to the Turnbuckle Throwbacks with Phil J and that pain in the ass Choppy. What kind of name is Choppy? Ugh.
Your shows, your entertainment, and your network. This is Rant and Rave.
Remember, what this network wants, this network gets. I promise you that.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is the main event of the evening.
Broadcasting live from Shaolin, Staten Island.
Freak Show Central.
Where's that?
New York City.
The recognized symbol of excellence in sports entertainment broadcasting. It's the Turnbuckle Throwbacks Wrestling Podcast on Rant EM Radio. Proud member of the Shining Wizards Network and Dark Satellite Media.
Buddy.
Hello.
This just came out today, I think, right?
It did. Let me turn this up a little bit here.
Yeah, turn it up.
How we doing? All right?
Yeah. Little Ozzy.
Jeff Beck on guitar. Brand new Ozzy. I hope he's healing. He just had surgery on his neck.
I just found something out recently about Jeff Beck. I had no idea.
What's that?
He did John Bon Jovi's song. Well, I think he wrote it with Richie. The Blaze of Glory that was on the Young Guns. That's the solo from that is Jeff Beck.
Well,
I had no idea about
they
that.
They got their Richie. We got our Richie.
Anybody seen Richie?
What's up, cuz? Cuzzy's in the room. Matt Squire's in the room. But who else is in the room here? Let's see. My computer is a fucking disaster today. Mario's on. Oh, what's up, Mario? It's VO5J. All right.
I like Trezeme better.
You like, yeah, you do, huh?
Yep.
All right. Episode 459 of the Turnbuckle Throwbacks Wrestling Podcast. We are live on the Rant EM Radio, Rant Entertainment Media, part of the Shining Wizards Network. We are part of whatever Jimmy Ferrari's doing, and that's pretty much it. Obviously, Choppy's not here. He's on some movie set problem. What else is new? And Jay has stepdaddy daycare probably today.
After this, it's right into probably going right to the park to play soccer. That's our new favorite thing now, soccer. Which so, I'm not upset about, by the way.
What, soccer?
Yeah, the kids love playing soccer.
I wish Hammer.
I never played it ever in my life.
I wish Hammer played sports. He tried because his dad's a big baseball guy. Mike is a umpire. Mike's a certified umpire. Mike went to umpire school. He played softball, baseball. One of his uncles pitched college ball. So I thought he'd want to do it, and he tried. He was a backstop after T-ball. He didn't like it. He tried, though. Uh-huh. Tressa J. So thank you. Yes, the new Ozzy came out today. I had a terrible week at work. I got in a lot of trouble, but that's another story.
Uh-oh.
It was nice to wake up this morning. I couldn't sleep. So around 4:30, I'm tossing and turning. And I knew I had an early doc's appointment, so I figured, let me just, at one point, just fuck it and stay up.
Yeah.
So I stayed up, and I hit refresh on the YouTube gimmick, and it was the first thing that popped up. I'm like, get the fuck out of here.
Yeah.
I know the new Ozzy was coming out. I knew that Jeff Beck was on the album. I didn't know he was on the first single.
Mm-hmm.
So, new Ozzy album comes out in September, I believe it is. So we're going to be doing that. I can't wait to. He's not going to tour, obviously. He's doing that. They blocked our fucking video because of the music.
Music.
You cocksucker.
This song's 4 hours old.
I know. Whatever, man. You know what? Fuck Facebook. Fuck all these social media gimmicks. How about that?
Mm-hmm.
It's a bad thing. Yeah. Anyway, I'm just going to have an extended weekend. I'm off on Monday.
Oh, nice.
Because Hammer's staying over Sunday night for the pay-per-view.
For the pay-per-view.
I always invite you guys, so I know you're busy. You guys are always welcome to come over.
I probably won't be able to make it.
I know.
The kids.
I know.
Oh, no. Sunday, I got my niece's, my second niece, her christening.
Oh.
We're having a little party for her.
Are you the godfather?
No, my first niece's godfather, Laura Grace, LG, we call her in the house.
LG, like the TV?
And yeah.
Yay.
And then we got Mercy.
Nice.
So we're going to have, maybe my brother-in-law, we might pop it on. Who knows? Knowing me, I'll be home by 6:30 in bed by 7. So.
That's hysterical. Yeah, I knew Hammer called me up last week. He's like, remember he had a job. He blew us off, remember?
Uh-huh.
So he said, I'll be there Sunday. I'm like, but you have school. Monday's like his last day.
Yeah.
He's like, I just got to get my report card.
Yeah,
and I was like, "All right, so you know what? If you're gonna stay the night, I'll take off the next day and whatever."
Yeah,
I gotta burn vacation time anyway. Plus, I'm not very popular right now at the workplace. So, so maybe it's better that I fucking stay away an extra day. You know,
nothing wrong with that.
Nah, not at all. So, so you know what? It's gonna be a deal. We have a lot to talk about actually.
Yeah.
So some stuff rolled over from last week, and I'm gonna review Slammiversary. And we're going to preview Forbidden Door. Our boys will be in Chicago this weekend.
Yeah.
Lane, Rob, I know Mickey the Greek is going to be out there. And who else? Mott Spock is going to be out there, who's killing it with his podcast right now, him and Will. Richie's got his podcast. Everybody's got their podcast, man. So I'm happy for everybody doing their thing, man.
I like it. Everybody get it.
Everybody's
out
doing
there.
A podcast. You know what? If you can do it, do it. A lot of people can't do it. You know, if you can do it. You could have the equipment. You got to be fucking good.
Yeah,
that's all I'm saying. You know. So anyway. All right. I'm sorry, Augie. Augie's like, get the fuck away from me. Where you want to go first, man?
We got to go. I guess we.
Do we go Vince?
Let's go with Vince because it was some funny things. We played that promo at the top of the show with The Rock and. Just for context reasons, the week prior, that was the infamous when Austin walked out. And he, for reasons that he even now admits is wrong. But at the time, you got to see where Austin's coming from. With no buildup, you put in, you're going to put him in a match against Brock Lesnar for no, with no buildup. You know what he's saying is right. Like you said, his actions and the execution of it was wrong. But nonetheless, Austin walks out, so they bring The Rock in back early. Apparently, he's supposed to come back in July. He comes back late June.
June 17th.
And cuts this, just a great promo.
Yeah, this was the week before our throwback tonight, which is King of the Ring 2002.
And it's a great promo, clearly just throwing daggers at Austin.
Yeah.
And this proves sometimes how, I don't want to say how Vince can, weave in reality and fiction, and how spiteful he is. You know, we've all seen it with the Dr. Heine stuff, with Jim Ross, this promo, and a few other stuff in the past. Seeing Vince come out on Monday, we just rewatched it, and I tell you, man, that is, you see him come out and he's shaking his hands and he's
a zombie.
I'm starting to see.
I'm on a Walking Dead.
I'm starting to see what some people are saying, that Vince is just coming out, just using his, and listen, I get it too. He's using his platform just to say, hey, this isn't bothering me in any sense of the word. You know, he comes out. By the way, almost falls. Can't get into the ring. I mean, he's gonna have to start going. You know, he's gonna have to start doing what Hulk Hogan did in TNA and build the ramp so he doesn't have to climb the stairs, because he almost fell up the stairs, almost fell down the stairs. to me, it's a little theatrical, if that makes sense. It's such serious shit what he's doing, what's going on right now behind the scenes, that Vince doing this is almost kind of, it's tongue in cheek, just like kind of saying to, the law firms investigating him, just kind of, he's almost giving him the bird, just saying, fuck you ain't rattling my cage, which in true, Vince fashion is what Vince would say. So I found it very peculiar. I'm starting to change my tune a little bit about it. Wrestling Soup Guys had a excellent guest on.
Shout out to Mission Joey. Yeah, get into this. I didn't hear it yet.
They, I think it was Tuesday. They had somebody on, a law guy. I wish I should have wrote his name down. He has a podcast too as well. But he was just going into the legalities of everything and kind of about what can happen. And apparently I got a few things wrong from last week, where Vince had I knew he had the overwhelming voting shares. Like, basically he cannot be. Voted out per se. Now, if he's found unfit, that's where it gets squirrely in that sense. So I did get a few things right, but at the end of the day, it was interesting. Go out of your way to see that. Mish, it was from Tuesday. I forget his name. I'll look it up. But
no, I mean, I get Wrestling Soup on the phone. So,
but it's just interesting stuff. The whole story still fascinates me. With everything going on, Johnny Ace been relieved of his duties.
Is that official?
Well, he's on administrative leave.
Oh, because Cornette said he was definitely done.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's probably going to go that way. Bruce Pritchard is now the new, he's the interim head.
Oh, he's
head.
The interim, right?
He's
yeah,
the interim
yeah.
Interim head.
All right, so he'll fight for the title then.
Yeah.
when Laurinaitis comes back, he'll fight for the title. He's the interim.
He's the interim.
He's the interim
head of talent relations, which, who you believe in the reports. People are happy. Some people aren't happy.
Hey, Shaylin, happy birthday again.
Happy birthday, Shaylin. It shows you that the whole thing kind of, is obscure, because Stephanie's gone. They released that stuff to the business magazine. I don't know if it was Business Insider or somebody.
Yeah.
But they were just burying Stephanie, in the sense of that she wasn't doing her job correctly.
Well, you know what her first duty was, right?
What?
She put Triple H back on fucking
NXT.
Well,
but now listen, let's once again, I love doing this tinfoil hat stuff.
We got more tinfoil, so go ahead.
So
have at it.
You know, Vince is going into cover your ass mode. you know, self-preservation. So he's going, and now he, once again, you're going into the idea of...
You need to bring me some birthday cake, Shaylin. She's got leftover cake.
Oh, there we go.
You better come bring that shit.
You got.
I'll pay for Uber.
You're running into this whole area of that you got shareholders running your business. So Vince can't step down and go, well, we're going to put in Nick Khan, who Nick Khan's only been with the company for 2 years. I mean, who better to have than, you know, Stephanie, another McMahon, obviously, step in. And, you know, it could be multi-pronged where Stephanie was like, yeah, no problem, Dad, I'll do it. But you got to put Triple H back in NXT. Like, he needs to go back there. And then Vince is starting to concede. Or even crazier, I believe I heard it on the Soup. I don't know if it was Joey or Mish that said it, but this one even makes more sense. The idea that Linda has been fucking radio silent.
In Florida, chilling.
Radio silent. And I bet you it's probably along the lines of like, Vince, I'll stay silent, but you know who needs to go in there. And she's saying, you got to put Stephanie there.
Yeah. Now, I'm going to counter your Wrestling Soup with Cornette again, which is, I don't know why I abuse myself. All right. So Cornette basically didn't really, I mean, he explained his relationship with Vince while he was there and compared the relationship to what it is and to what's going on now. He never knew Vince to be that kind of guy and whatever. It wasn't that he was like sticking up for him or anything. He was just giving like his...
And then he gave
his take on it.
What I like about Cornette is a lot of the times he could take a situation and be objective.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's what... And
so he was.
I heard what you were saying, too.
He was.
I think I heard... It was like Saturday, I think I heard.
Yeah,
it.
He was being objective. And another thing he brought up was... Well, I think Brian did, his co-host, was like, you know, Stephanie's in this position, but is she really... Like, you know, what's Vince's... the first question was to Cornette from Brian, what was the... What's going to be, if Vince is still allowed to be on TV and creative, then what's his official title? So Cornette's like, whatever the fuck he wants.
He is still calling. Yeah. That shows you right there
that
he's still calling the shots.
Right, 100%. So I was like, you know what? So now he goes, what if Stephanie removes Vince? Because Stephanie technically can remove anybody who's lower than her off their position. She can fire Nick Khan. She can fire Laurinaitis. She can any, you know.
Because once again, my assumption right now is she is Vince. So she has whatever it is. I forget 40% of all the shares and 89% of all the voting shares, which is the key thing, which a lot of people do not have in companies, is that much power. A lot of people kind of by committee.
Right.
Vince is the, it starts and stops with him. My understanding is she's absorbing that. That essentially can do that.
Right.
My understanding.
And then they're also convinced that people, and not just them, a lot of people are convinced that Stephanie's basically like a puppet in that spot until Vince is either cleared of these allegations and or not. And then he goes, and she's really in charge. Like, he's still in her ear, like, because she hates Nick Khan, right?
Yeah. Well, she hates Kevin Dunn,
Kevin
for sure.
Dunn, too.
Yeah.
So it's like, what if Vince wants them on the payroll still? And she, now, honey, don't fire them.
Yeah.
Do this. Like, is it that kind of relationship? Or is she going to, you know, pull the panties up and be like, you know what? I got to take care of some business. And within 48 hours, her man's back in fucking NXT in the Performance Center.
And like I said, and once again, it can be a thing where it's like, all right, Dad.
Well, is that because Pritchard is now get bumped up to talent relations because Laurinaitis is gone?
Probably.
Because Pritchard wasn't Pritchard running NXT right at this point?
Well, he was overseeing.
He was overseeing it?
Yeah.
He's
overseeing. Basically, wherever Vince goes is where Pritchard always uses.
Which is
goes.
Not, but listen, and then another thing that was brought up on social media, Vince is getting to the point now where he just wants to surround himself with people that he knows. Not more like yes men. What's up, Mario? Papa H is home. Exactly.
Papa H, yeah.
Not too much of like yes men, but people that he can trust around him that are still involved creatively in the business. Right? Does that make sense?
Yes.
Because I'm convinced that Steph is right now just a puppet until either, you know, Because I don't think she wants to, like, step on any toes. What's up there, Groomsy? But, like, I don't think she wants to step on any toes. I think she just wants to, you know, she didn't want to be in that position anyway.
Well, let's call a spade here. If Stephanie, and Stephanie is smart. I'm not gonna even speculate anything. Stephanie's a fucking shrewd businesswoman. She knows how to do this. Let's play the cards correctly. If she just comes in and does whatever Vince wants, it's going to be hers anyway, unless they sell, which I think is always still on the table. But essentially, the business is going to be hers. So just sit there and just, you know, pantomime whatever your dad's going to say. All right, yeah, Dad, whatever you want me to do. You old man, you're going to be dead in 10, 15 years anyway.
Yeah.
Or, like you said, I don't see the alternative happening. I don't see her going rogue. I don't see her doing anything really, you know, that Vince wouldn't do right now. Because I just think she's playing chess as compared to checkers to me. I think it's all on paper. I think it's just paperwork. You know, oh, yeah, yeah. There's no other alternative Vince can do in today's climate other than step down. Because the idea, if he steps down, he's showing that he even though he probably feels that he's not wrong, you know, the story still stands that he used his money, which is probably correct, but there's a lot of NDAs that we don't know about, and where did that money come from?
Right.
That's what they're investigating. But at the end of the day, it's also what could be. As a publicly traded company, if something that Vince does in his personal life affects the stock price, affects the company, which is, i.e., you know, infidelities or whatever the case, and who knows whatever his relationship status is, you know, married, not married, whatever the case is.
Yeah.
That is still affecting the company, and that's what is being investigated. And that's, and that is, once again, everything is in, you know, in that lawyer English, you kind of got to see, you know, you got to sift through some of that shit, and it's not a good look right now. And I mean, from what I understand, is Vince can be taken down in a sense of, like you said, because now you're talking about a competence issue, cognizance issue.
Yeah.
You know, like Vince, watching Vince out on Raw, Vince can make the claim that that's my character on Raw. But, dude, like you're having trouble. Straight up, looked like he was having trouble. And
he came out twice on two different shows, and he was struggling to get up the stairs.
So, at the end of the day, it's gonna get. I think it's gonna get worse before it gets a little bit better. Right.
Cornette even waited until SmackDown, and then went back on the air the next morning and finished his podcast because he wanted to give the review of Vince coming on TV.
And if anybody paid attention to the stock price this week, it went down. Yes. I mean, granted, the whole market in and of itself kind of has been down.
No, that was made aware on. I saw that on Twitter.
But you know. It nonetheless, the price did go down. And I want to clear up something, too. I was reading that Kevin Dunn allegedly, you know, was quickly sold all of his...
When he found out, yeah. So now he's being investigated also.
I think that's being squashed because I think, in the sense of, once again, if you want something to be there, you can find a connection. If anybody in that who... You know, Kevin Dunn, not on the board. You know, he's not on the... this isn't like a Martha Stewart type thing. If anybody were to know what would be happening, it would be Kevin Dunn. But, you know, if you follow the stock price, it's the highest it's ever been in a year, in a calendar year. I think a year ago today, it was around $47. If you have stock options and all this stuff, and once again, I'm not acting like I'm any kind of an expert. I just...
You know more than we do.
But you can have a price target set at $65, $66 and just trigger a sale right there. It could be coincidental, and of course, it can be, you know, oh shit, you know, we just found out some earth-shattering stuff. Maybe I'm going to sell. It could be that too, but it's. I don't think it's so quick. But I believe it's kind of debunked. I think it happened a little bit before really everything kind of came to light. So you know, who knows at that point. But you know, I mean, if it were to be insider trading, wouldn't happen to a nicer guy, Kevin Dunn. yeah, you know, it's at the end of the day, man. I'm hook, line, and sinker on this story because this is the biggest thing. I cannot believe that this is actually happening.
Stockbroker Jay is in the know, apparently. Hashtag,
I love it.
Hashtag Jay Stockbroker.
And check out on Twitter. Oh, I forget the hell's his name. Brandon Thurston or WrestleNomics.
Hold on a minute. That Cornette's guy brought that up on the podcast.
WrestleNomics. That dude. This guy is all over.
He's a numbers cruncher. Yeah, yep. They brought his name up too. It's just, you know, like we said last week, it's just, you know, Vince is so polarizing. Jay Gecko, that's funny. he's so polarizing that, you know, you can't help but not be invested because of we're such big fans. And look at Maurice. Oh, my God. I want to do terrible things to her.
Yeah.
I can't believe fucking Miz is hitting that, a lot.
Listen.
It's a moon market. Greed is good. Word up. Anyway, the bottom line is that there's stuff ain't kosher in the deli, and either it's going to get exposed or it's not going to get exposed, and we can only hope that this puts a little life in the Jays, Mr. Wall Street.
Yeah,
they could put a little more life into this product because SmackDown. Listen. When Roman Reigns had an amazing match with Riddle last week.
Amazing.
Right? And then he's like, he goes, wise man, there's no one else. There's no one else. And then Brock's music hits. So, of course, I made a run in on a rant Friday night.
Yeah, I didn't get a chance to listen.
But I was like, you know, I called it the John Cena safe syndrome. Where you have guys in place that are just available at your whim, and you're like, oh, you know, just insert guy here, insert line, storyline here. It's like, all right, now what? But Cornette's convinced and a lot of people are convinced too, that the talent pool is very thin. I disagree. I think the talent pool is more now than it ever has been. The only difference is they ain't fucking writing properly.
That's
the bottom line. Don't tell me that you got 50, 60 performers in the back, and these guys and girls can work, okay? I mean, are a couple of them disappointing? Yeah, Ronda Rousey has been disappointing me even since she came back. But a couple people have been disappointing.
Well, like I said, after that match on Friday, I mean, Riddle arrived. You know what I mean? Like, this dude is here.
Oh, Riddle could always go, though.
Plug him. Exactly. Yeah. Oh, we all knew this. But
yeah.
Plug him in, but you still, that decision was made. So, and this is how you know Vinnie Mac's still calling his shots a little bit, because the decision was made before SmackDown. The crowd was on fire.
Yeah,
because
apparently Vince scrapped the book the day before.
The crowd was on fire for Riddle then.
Yeah,
during that match, when he kicked out of the Superman punch, the crowd was on fire.
Yeah,
so I don't think they were anticipating that reaction. So to me, they had that already planned out, and you know, you could still. So okay, SummerSlam's in an arena. We got to get Brock in. Okay, I get it, but it shows you how much they're hurting. Randy's out, Cody's out. You know what I mean? You can't.
Randy's out till next year.
Yeah, I know. You can't plug in Drew McIntyre. That would have been a good one.
Big E's hurt.
Big E's hurt.
But you got KO.
Of course, but he's on Raw.
You got Sloppy Lashley.
But then again, he's supposed to be the undisputed, you know, champion, so he can be wrestling on Raw.
Tony Z, holy shit! You guys are becoming the sweater and the schmoozer. That's a radio. If for those who don't know locally, I was a very popular sports radio midday TV the radio show back in the day. Steve Summers and Russ Salzburg, two crazy Jews. I digress. But yeah, I'm sorry. You were saying
They just shows you how thin they are at the, you know, basically at the top. They got to plug Brock back in.
Yeah. And I just, I don't, you know, and I'm looking at Austin Theory right now, flex, doing his fucking WBF pose with the U.S. Championship. This kid's got it. He's the complete package, right? They're not going to waste him, per se. But I feel like, again, you got enough talent, man.
Yeah.
You know, they're just not writing it properly.
Exactly.
You know? So money, and then just then they're gonna hype Money in the Bank. You know, my uncle loves Steve. So who doesn't love Steve Summers, Shaylin? During the fucking pandemic, he was doing the show in his kitchen. The guy's like, he's 107 years old. He's amazing. You know, I just, all right. Anyway, some other news. Are we done with WWE? You know.
Yeah, let's continue with WWE.
No, are we
done with it?
Are we done with WWE? You know.
Yeah, I'd say so.
Yeah,
because just, I mean, I enjoyed the stuff on Raw with. You know, the stuff with Elias and KO.
Yeah.
I think it's I think for some reason I should not be liking it as much as I do. But I love it. I love the idea that KO is we're seeing like the slow, you know, dismemberment of KO's mind. You can see everything happening. I don't know. I love everything about it. So I really wanted to. I think that's where the writing is getting good. Is just small little parts here. And we was talking about Austin Theory. I mean, he is a cutout. He's cutout made for a John Cena feud. If John Cena's coming back just for next week, or just for Monday, I should say at this point now, I think there's going to be a storyline, and I think Austin Theory is going to be a part of it.
Yeah. For those who are asking, we're trying to hammer out a date for the anniversary show. The goal is to get a date where I can get at least one or two of these fucking Jamooks in studio with us and our friends. I mean, I want to implement that. JJ, I take the call. I want to make sure, because some of our guys and girls, like, you know, we want Rob involved, but Rob's doing the film festival. You know, we want Elaine in there. We want Hammer with us. You know, obviously, we always invite the Wizards if they want to come through. Like, we just want to have a couple of people in there hanging out with us. You know, it's a big deal for us. And I just want to have that, you know. I'm still looking for a designer, an artist to help me get this idea I have for a shirt. I got one or two ideas from Matt Squires. I got an idea myself. I just don't know how to fucking draw it. So, but yeah, we're going to make shirts up. We're going to have, you know, like, we could do, like, the whole gimmick, magnets and fucking pens and whatever. But either way, we're gonna hammer out a date. We're going to announce as soon as we figure it out, and hopefully you guys can all join. It'll be a Friday night for sure.
Yeah.
It'll be Friday night. We're going to go live, and obviously whoever's local, hint, hint, you guys are all, you should be here, first of all, hanging out with us if you could make it, you know? But, it's going to be a deal. It's going to be a deal. SummerSlam 92 is going to be the throwback.
Yeah.
Jay wants to do some sort of watch-along.
I was thinking maybe a watch-along, especially if we get everybody in.
If we get everybody in, we could use the big TV, and we'll stream it. I'm not mad at that. Maybe we'll do a watch-along, and we'll critique it, make fun of it, whatever you want to do. Let's see. Where you want to go next?
Let's go Forbidden Door.
All right.
Big news this past week.
All right, so let's go. We'll do Dynamite real quick. We'll go with Dynamite. Because that was the go-home show.
You know, I was really, not that I was hard on AEW, but, like, they was kind of, I think they've really done their best to kind of make us excited for it, and I think they kind of really, I mean, last week was the start of it. I was like, wow, you know, they're really doing a good job, and this past week was another one. I think it was a good show overall. You know, big news with Okada coming in.
I made a comment this morning. I did a little video for the guys and girls. Let them know that we're going to be on at 1 o'clock. And I said to the kids, I was like, you know, I feel like it's getting a bit rushed because people are injured and they didn't build some of these things properly. The Danielson promo was dope.
Yes.
He's not going to be at Forbidden Door or Blood and Guts.
Unfortunately,
but he has a replacement, he says. So who's the replacement? Speculations are Cesaro.
Yeah.
Samoa Joe, I'm hearing. I don't know.
I wouldn't be mad at Cesaro. I hope he doesn't sign a long-term deal. I mean, Cesaro's been awfully quiet about what's going on. I know his non-compete's been over for a while now. But
I'm hearing Johnny Gargano because Johnny's got ties with him too.
Yeah.
So I don't know.
I wouldn't mind, but like I said, this is to go against ZSJ, right?
Yeah.
Because I love that promo that.
No, this is the team thing.
Oh, the TL Blood and Guts.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I was talking about with the promo against Zack Sabre Jr. against.
He's talking about both times he's supposed to wrestle. The Christian Cage promo was really good. He got, he's calling out Jungle Boy, and his mom is talking about his dead dad, and he cut a really sick promo. Then Luchasaurus comes out, and then he creepingly, is that a word, creepingly?
Yeah, I think so.
He creepingly calmed down Luchasaurus and reminded him of he mentioned somebody's name, and they walked out of a ring together, and I was like, okay. I see where that's going.
Well, you gotta remember. You gotta remember, Luchasaurus is over a million years old. So
I mean, yeah,
he's been around a long time. A
little old in the tooth. They had Roppongi Vice and Orange Cassidy versus Will Ospreay and Aussie Open.
Yes.
But part of the United Empire. I'm really upset that they're gonna waste Will Ospreay on Orange Cassidy. I'm sorry. I know I'm not a big Orange Cassidy fan. I'm not saying he's bad, but Will Ospreay, arguably, and I said this 2 weeks ago, is probably the best wrestler on the planet right now, next to Okada, and Jay White. Sorry, Rob. And Jay White. But you're going to waste Will Ospreay in the States. You don't get Will Ospreay in the States at all. So, you're going to waste Ospreay with fucking Orange Cassidy?
See, this is where I'm going to disagree.
Okay.
I actually like it because of the fact that, okay, you got to look past the gimmick. The guy can go. The guy can absolutely go. I think when it comes down to it, once you get past all that stuff, it's going to be a great match.
Do we think MJF's going to have a run-in during the pay-per-view? A run-in?
No.
No? Okay.
I think they're doing the right thing by keeping him off
TV,
not even mentioning it. And I think they're doing the right thing. There's no need. I mean, does it keep the storyline going if he comes in and messes up a certain match? But what match is he going to run in on?
Right.
Where does he fit here? And
well,
that's the problem I have with
Richie says he thinks Wolo gets a championship match and MJF runs in and costs him.
I don't think. Well, I mean, it does work, but then what are you going to do? You're going to keep the Wardlow MJF.
There's no need for it, right? Maybe, I don't know. Who cuts a better heel promo? Mario wants to know. Edge or Christian? Ooh. See, after
this past one with Christian.
Christian, not for nothing. If you watch Christian's TNA shit,
he was amazing.
He was amazing as world. He was NWA champion. No one mentions that.
Yeah.
You know?
That's something Edge can't say.
I got to tell you, he could run in during the Mox match, too, MJF.
He could. I just don't think he fits right now. I
think those fucking Warner Brothers suits are being dildos about it.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, Tony Storm fought Marina Shafir, Mrs.
Roddy
Strong.
Yep.
I'm still pissed that the fucking Mexicans can't wrestle.
Yeah,
Penta versus Malakai Black. That was the old Atlantic Championship tournament match.
I'm excited for this. I think this is going to be good.
Good, and then of course Chris Jericho and Lance Archer versus Jon Moxley and Tanahashi.
Yeah,
so it was a good card, and Okada comes out, which is the fucking game changer, And this is where I hate Cornette, because Cornette's like, man, nobody knows who these people are, and they're rushing them in here and jumping people, and they look like when they come in and do run-ins, they look like bums, and I'm like, I disagree. This is not 1985 where Manny Fernandez shows up on NWA television and fucking jumps Jimmy Valiant for Paul Jones, right?
Yeah.
And turns on Jimmy Valiant, right? No one knew he was coming because no one had the internet. No one had fucking cell phones. It was a surprise. You had territories. Guys would show up and leave. Mm-hmm. Show up and leave. Show up and leave. They would advertise them in locally, like, "Hey, Ric Flair's coming to fucking Kansas City at the Kiel Center."
Yeah,
you know. But you didn't get, like, you know, unless some guys had those, some, like, radio stations would do it, like, "Hey, WKAB, we got Ric Flair coming to St. Louis next week. Fuck your faces, folks."
Yeah.
Right? No, but, like, you mean to tell me nobody in the fucking audience knows who Okada is, Tanahashi, Ishii, fucking Ospreay?
Disagree.
Stop.
Everybody knows.
Stop, Cornette. You're fucking, well, you're 107 years old, man.
Here's the thing, and this is where he's a little bit too deep into it. He doesn't see it for what it is. Think of back in the day when the Midnight Express is running around and you got smart fans. And I'm just going to use the wrestling mags, you know.
The after mags. Yeah, after mags.
You got the Midnight Express at their highest. Who else would you want them to wrestle at that point? The fucking British Bulldogs. You talk about 1986. The Bulldogs are on fucking fire. You mean to tell me that no smart wrestling fan in 86 would love to see the Midnight Express against the British Bulldogs? Fantasy, you know what I mean?
Like, yeah,
just
of course.
Just one night.
We should fantasy book that.
The idea is, Cornette, like, this is where I kind of understand where Tony Khan's coming from, where it's like they're using, you know, is it too much towards the internet fan? You can make that argument.
Come on, man. If you're a wrestling fan right now, you have a bit of a pulse on what's going on,
yes,
around you.
Absolutely.
You don't have to be a fan. Listen, I love NWA, right? I don't watch. I'm starting to watch every week now,
yeah,
on YouTube, but I'm not. I wasn't like. I was a fan with a fan. I was watching it, and then they stopped doing it, and then COVID happened, and
yep.
And like, but like, I know who's there. I have a pulse on it. Not
yep.
because I do the podcast either, because if I wasn't doing the podcast, I'd still watch. I'm a fan.
Absolutely.
A wrestling fan knows what's going on. There was one chick I used to talk to on the internet. She was strictly Chikara.
Mm-hmm.
I don't watch anything. She had a podcast too. I don't watch anything else but Chikara.
Love Chikara, by the way.
I love Chikara too.
Yeah.
But you mean to tell me that's all you watch? I don't know. I know nothing about WWE or Impact. Or I'm like, you fucking.
That's the cool thing to say.
You know what? You know what's cool? Being a fucking wrestling fan, period, okay? So you gotta have a pulse on something. Cornette's defense, if Okada came out of a box, it would have went over. You know who said that? Fucking Squires.
He's not wrong, though.
He's not wrong. But come on, Jim. You know, Jim answers emails. Jim has to print out his emails to answer them. That's how fucking old he is. Okay? Stop it, Cornette. You're killing me with this shit. Like, you don't know? Like, you don't fucking know? Get out of here with that bullshit, man.
Yeah.
That's some bullshit right there, Jay. Some bullshit.
But I'm excited. I'm excited for the pay-per-view.
Yeah. Let's run down the card real quick and do our... let's run down the card for Sunday night for the five-hour pay-per-view.
It's going to be probably about 6-7 hours.
Yeah. Well, good thing I'm off the next day. FTR versus United Empire versus Roppongi Vice for the ROH and IWGP championship.
Winner takes all. This is a perfect springboard for FTR.
If FTR can pull this off.
I think they can.
If FTR can pull this off, I have to get the cord so our computer won't die. But if FTR pulls this off, they're the best in the game right now.
I think this is a perfect springboard for them. I think it is going to happen. I think it is. I think it's meant to. This is a perfect place for it to be. You know, Japan is opening up their borders. There's no reason why FTR can't go over there.
Mario, are you going to miss the pay-per-view for Jurassic World?
Ah, Jurassic World.
Oh, God. Can someone hug Mario, please? Can someone in Texas, can someone give Mario a hug and tell him that it's going to be all right, that he doesn't have to watch that awful fucking movie? The last one sucked, by the way. Anyway, I digress. The Young Bucks, El Fantasmo, and Higaleo. The Bucks are in Bullet Club for one night only.
Yep.
So basically it's Bullet Club versus Sting, Darby Allin, Shingo, and Takahashi from LIJ.
I like it.
Good match.
And I'm telling, once again, you know, Cornette with, you know, just kind of being a little nearsighted with this shit. This is great. This is another thing that got me. I was like, oh, okay. I could see what they're doing.
And I'm glad Hikuleo is finally getting his fucking due, because this kid, he's the younger brother of the Gorillas of Destiny.
Yep.
And he's the dad of his dad. I think his dad is Haku, right?
Haku,
yeah. So, like, he's been in the cut for a minute and hasn't gotten his shine. And he was supposed to get his shine, but COVID happened. A lot of guys took a fucking backseat because of the Rona. You know what I'm saying? So that's gonna be a good match. I might go with Sting team though. I don't want them to win, but I think I hope Bullet Club wins. Will Ospreay versus Orange Cassidy? I mentioned that already.
Ospreay's gonna win. Ospreay cannot lose. But I like I said, to me, this is, you gotta remember, AEW, you know, so this is Orange Cassidy is a part of it, you know, and I think if done right, this could be a show stealer. We got to remember, underneath all that other stuff, Orange Cassidy can go when it's happening. So I'm excited for this match.
Yeah, and I feel like I'm going to give myself a blade job to the eye, Marius. I'm binging all of them. Sting's new group is the New Misfits. He's calling himself the Dudes with Attitudes. That was Sting's stable back in the day when the Ruse Sneakers were the sponsor for the NWA. Ruse, dude. And he had the little pockets on the sides.
Yeah.
Kangaroo sneakers. Ruse, dude. ZSJ versus Mystery Opponent. We already mentioned who we think it is.
I hope it's Cesaro.
Be
dope. But here's the funny thing, you know, it could also be Gargano, but I don't think Gargano's doing anything until after the summer.
But you know what's dope though? Any of those guys that we mentioned can run.
Yeah.
Because ZSJ is probably, next to Danielson, one of the best technical wrestlers on the planet.
Oh, yeah.
ZSJ will fucking, he'll forge you into an accordion. He doesn't look the part, but there's a reason why Minoru Suzuki recruited him. He will bend you into an accordion. I've seen Zack Sabre Jr. stretch guys beyond their limits. Like, and that's a shoot. Like, I've read where guys were like, you, when you go in the ring with Zack Sabre Jr., you better pack a lunch.
Yeah.
Because the kid will wrap you up, you know? And he just had a success. Him and his partner had a just successful tag team run tonight in New Japan. It was him and Taichi.
Yeah.
They were tag team champions for a hot minute. I mean, I'm excited for that.
Well, did you hammer down who you think is going to be the mystery opponent? Do you think it's going to be Cesaro?
I think it's going to be either Claudio. I want to say Gargano. But I think it might be Samoa Joe, but Joe was hurt apparently.
Yeah,
I don't know. Right. I don't know. Maybe it's Brie Bella. Matt Squire says that's dope. Let's see. Hold on a minute. Get back to the card. Chris Jericho, Sammy Guevara, and Minoru Suzuki.
Love it.
Versus Eddie Kingston, Wheeler Yuta, and Shota Umino.
And Shota Umino is Moxley's...
It's young boy.
Yeah.
He's young boy, quote unquote.
I love that. Was it 2 years ago when he was just treating him like shit?
Beat him up at ringside, smacked him around. Jon Moxley!
I think he's slowly becoming a Moxley fan.
Nah, not really. He cuts good promos, though.
He does.
I
love it. I love the fact that Suzuki's going to be here.
Of course. I hope it's Johnny Ace. Where's my skateboard?
Yeah,
I got two left feet, but I could use a skateboard.
Do me a favor, sign this.
Johnny Ace, I love it.
But I love it. But come on, I mean, it's gonna go without saying who's gonna win this.
And let's see, moving right along, Thunder Rosa defended the AEW Women's Championship against the shitlocker Tony Storm, Mrs. Juice Robinson.
I can wait on a Tony Storm run. I just don't want Thunder Rosa to
she's on a roll right now, huh?
I don't want to give it up yet.
Yeah, she's on a roll right now. God bless her.
Yep.
All right, the All-Atlantic Championship continues, the tournament. Ishii is out. He's injured. Taking his place is New Japan Pro Wrestling West Coast young boy Clark Connors. Who's been making some waves. So it's Heck. Clark Connors versus Malakai Black and the repackaged Miro.
I cannot I cannot wait for this. I don't know what it is. I think this belt either should go to Malakai or I really want it to go to Miro. I think this is all about Miro.
Johnny Ace's new finisher, the NDA cutter.
Oh, there it is.
Choppy's bell today. Okay. And now, final fatal four-way for the IWGP World Heavyweight Championship. Hangman Adam Page, Adam Cole, baby. the Rainmaker, Kazuchika Okada, and the Catalyst.
Love it.
The leader of Bullet Club, the current reigning, defending IWGP Heavyweight Champion, Switchblade, Jay White. So I think Jay White retains. And if he does lose, it's not going to be to Adam Cole or Adam Page. I would love for Adam Cole to win the IWGP Heavyweight Championship. I'm such a mark for him. But it's not going to happen. I know that for a fact. Because my son's like, yeah, you knew you want Adam Cole to win, right? I'm like, of course I want Adam Cole to win. He's not going to win, you know?
Yeah.
You know. Johnny Laryngitis. All right. And finally, for the AEW Heavyweight Championship, the ace of New Japan Pro Wrestling, Hiroshi Tanahashi, versus Jon Moxley. Now, obviously, they're probably going to put the belt on Jon Moxley, the interim heavyweight championship on Jon Moxley. However, the gates are open in New Japan now. Guys are going back and forth, especially if FTR wins those belts too, right? I'm like, you know, can you imagine if all the New Japan guys that are in title matches win the championships? So you would have Clark Connors as the All-Atlantic champion. You'd have either Paige or Cole as the IWGP champion. Tanahashi, the AEW champion. And then FTR, the tag team champions. With Ring of Honor, tag team champions. And then you have to go to Japan and fucking fight that. That'd be cool.
I think
it's not going to happen. But
I think this is what's going to happen. I think to everybody's probably surprise, I think Tanahashi's going to win this. And I'll tell you why.
Really? So yeah. Now it's going to be Tanahashi and CM Punk?
Yes.
Really?
I think that's where they were going originally, and I think this is a perfect way to do this. Tanahashi can go back to New Japan with the AEW belt, all right? Assuming that this is going to be a... Because once again, this is going to play into my storyline of FTR winning the IWGP belts.
Okay.
So now they're going to have the tag belts. Why not have Tanahashi have the AEW belt? And then he can go there, defend it there, and then you're going to come back to CM Punk anyway. So, I mean, assuming that hopefully Punk can make it back, I think by summer's end, I think it's going to be an absolute Hail Mary. But if you can get him back by year's end, I don't see why you can't do this. So why not? And then it tells a great story. Maybe send new CM Punk over to Japan. I love it. I like the idea of Tanahashi winning the belt. I like Moxley. I'm definitely a bigger Moxley fan than you are. It makes sense to put it on him. But if you're talking long-term storytelling, I think you put the belt on Tanahashi.
Meltzer will have a five-star boner for that four-way.
I agree.
Thank you, man.
But it is going to be a great... That's like, if you talk about marquee names in wrestling,
Correct. Obviously... Correct.
Adam Cole, everybody's kind of like, he's been in the news this past week about his physique and what have you. Like, but at the end of the fucking day... The dude is a fucking star.
I've been a fan of his forever and ever and ever. I will always be a fan of his. He's got the complete package for me. Okay, he can talk. He can work. So what? He's under 200 pounds.
Yep.
Was it? I mean, there have been cruiserweights that have beaten giants. Okay, there have been middleweights that have. I mean, listen. You gotta understand something. If he's good, he's good. You know what I'm saying? If he's bad and weighs 175 pounds, 198 pounds, whatever it is,
yep.
If he's bad, then that's a problem. But he's not, because I want story time with Adam Cole. Okay, when he almost peaked that in Ring of Honor, I was like, this is the way. And they joined Bullet Club, and they recruited fucking what's his face, Marty Scurll, and like They were on the top of the world. They had the Bucks. They had Paige. I was like, man, can you imagine? That run at Ring of Honor got him the NXT gig, man.
Yeah, absolutely.
The guy walks in. He gets his own stable. He gets his own fucking gimmick. He gets everything. I mean, there's a reason why he's still around. Because he can work and he can talk. A lot of guys can't do both anymore.
Yep.
A lot of guys can't do both. You know, back in the day, very seldom a guy can do both. We had guys, we had the Randy Savages and the Ric Flairs and the Dusty Rhodeses and the Andersons and the Blanchards and several other people, but we didn't have a lot of guys in the WWF that can talk.
Why they had the Heenans, you had the Grand Wizard.
You had Ernie Roth, you had Jimmy Hart, the greatest, and then Bobby Heenan, the greatest manager of all time. You know, and then you had guys like that, Captain Louis Albano, Master Fuji, you had the managers. But then there were guys who could talk, you know, Jake Roberts can talk, and, you know, Piper can talk, and a couple of guys can do it, you know. But there are guys who can't. Yeah. Bret Hart, you know. There are guys who can't, you know. Ricky Steamboat, you know. He was too good, you know.
Yeah.
Paul Orndorff, I love you to death. Not a big fan of your promos, though.
Not the best talker, yeah.
No. You know, but this is what happens. I feel like the card was rushed. And people are getting injured, and now they're shoehorning fucking people in for these four ways and three ways and your sister's ways. And I'm like, you know what? I just hope for the $50, I'm entertained. That's all.
That's it.
If I can get 60% of that, 60-40, I'll be good. 50-50. I don't want 50-50 booking in a pay-per-view like this, especially if they're gonna progress storylines.
Well, that's what I think.
And
I think they're gonna do. And you gotta give credit where credit is due. They've done, you know, Forbidden Door really kind of snuck up on them. You know, hindsight being what it is, maybe they shouldn't done it so close to Double or Nothing. You know what I mean? Maybe they should have, you know, held out a little bit. But I think they've done a pretty good job of building excitement for the card, anticipation, and I'm here and. Like I said, I'd love to see it on Sunday. I know, like I said, my brother-in-law was talking about it, so hopefully, maybe we'll watch it. If not, I'm definitely gonna catch it during the week and do my usual watch it in 2-3 nights.
All right. Anything else? I got one more thing before we go to break. You got anything? All right. Real quick, I saw Slammiversary on Sunday.
Yes,
I liked it. Rich Swann and Brian Myers was good. Taya Valkyrie's got a big fat ass.
Yeah.
That was good. It was her. It was her versus what the fuck is her name? Oh, it was her and Rosemary versus the Influence for the tag titles.
Yeah,
Monsters Ball, Moose and Sammy Callahan was good. Team No More versus the Impact Originals, Chris Sabin, Alex Shelley, Frankie Kazarian, Nick Aldis, and a mystery partner.
Who was the mystery partner? I didn't catch it.
It was the fuck was his name? Oh, Jesus Christ!
I was thinking it was gonna be like Michael Shane or something.
No, it was what's his face? David Richards.
Oh, okay. I was hoping it was going to be like Michael Shane. Like, that would have been a real fucking...
Briscoe's lost the tag titles to the Good Brothers.
Shocking.
Yeah. Ace Austin was with X Division. The big Mike Bailey, Alex Zane, Kenny King, Jack Evans, Trey Miguel. Trey Miguel won that. Queen of the Mountain, Deonna Purrazzo, Chelsea Green, Tasha Steeles was a good match. Me and him, Jordan Grace. Jordan Grace won. Mickie James was the ref. Guest enforcer. And, of course, Josh Alexander had a fucking match and a half against Eric Young. They beat the snot out of each other.
Yeah.
They pulled the ring up. They exposed the boards. They went out. It was a great match, man. Canada will be proud.
Yep.
Yes, Shaylin, today is the anniversary of the Great Betrayal when Orndorff turned on Hogan. Yes. However, I will play that on our page and tease my friend Chris with it since we're 6 years old. I had to play the Rock promo because we're doing a very cool throwback for you tonight. Ladies and gentlemen, we are the Turnbuckle Throwbacks. We are live on The Rant. Thank you for Facebook and hanging out with us in the chat room. We're going to plug our friends and come right back.
Promotional consideration paid for by the following.
Are you tired of being uninformed? Together, we can change all of that. Experience a podcast like you've never heard before. You'll gain knowledge, have some laughs, because we believe this is the last AEW podcast you'll ever need. Join us every Wednesday night at 10:15 p.m. on rantemradio.com and Facebook Live. We can also be found on all major podcast forums as part of the Shining Wizards Network. So stop listening to inferior AEW podcasts and bring a new podcast into your life by joining us.
Join the Mark Order Podcast.
Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok at Mark Order Pod and on Facebook.com/Mark Order Pod. Don't forget to tag us on social media and use hashtag Join the Mark Order, because if you don't find us,
we will find you.
Everyone knows a lot of things can change in the span of 10 years. But when it comes to professional wrestling podcasting, one thing is still guaranteed. The Shining Wizards is the only place to get all the latest wrestling news, interviews with the greatest guests, and of course, tons of laughs in discussing the world of wrestling. The show is still available on Monday nights at 7 p.m. East on rantemradio.com and Rant Entertainment Media on the TuneIn app. And it's still available on all podcasting platforms. To check us out, head over to ShiningWizards.com, where it's still wrestling talk and talk about wrestling.
Are you tired of being told what to think and believe by Hollywood elites and politicians who just don't care about you?
Tired of not getting the truth when you watch the news?
Tired of trying to figure out what pronoun to use?
Tired of mob mentality when all you want to do is think for yourself and make up your own mind?
That's where we come in. This is Justin.
And Vince.
Your hosts of Inconclusive Breakdown.
We are a weekly anti-PC podcast bringing you entertainment and current event news without any spin.
If you want to truly stay informed on what's going on in the world, then give us a listen every Sunday, anywhere you get podcasts, at least till Zuckerberg and Twitter Jack deplatform us.
And as always, we're proud members of the Shining Wizards Network.
Tired of the PC police telling you what you can and cannot say? Want a show that travels back to the 80s and 90s, where the badass hosts have beaten down cancel culture on three separate occasions and carried on to gloat about it? Since 2013, The Midnight Jury is that show. Travel back to the malls and arcades, pop in your VHS, and join us where the 80s and 90s return from the dead. Conan, tell them where to find us.
WLWstudios.com, home of the Midnight Jury podcast, hosted by Midnight Mike and Calvin Brody.
Also available on all major podcast platforms via the Shining Wizards Network, and join in the conversation on Twitter at Midnight Jury.
Hey, it's Tony Schiavone of AEW, and you are listening to the Turnbuckle Throwbacks with Phil J and that pain in the ass, Choppy.
This is the song for the pay-per-view.
I love. Did you see? What was it called? The next month after this pay-per-view, they had the one in England. Right?
Was it insurrection?
Yeah.
We can't say that word now.
Did you say? Never mind.
What?
No, I was going to say something about what happened to me yesterday, but I'll talk to you off the air. What do you call it? Do you see Doc Hendricks dressed up like fucking like one of the Hardys? That was the thing. That was one of the things back in the day. You with the tight shirt, and the baggy pants, and a chain around your neck. I was never a slave to fashion, man.
No,
I was never a slave to fashion.
Like I said, I always do my own thing. Same thing. I'm lucky if I match sometimes. I don't even know if I'm matching right now.
You're not.
No, I didn't think so.
That's
but
fine.
Really don't care.
I match my hat and my shirt. I always try to do that. I've been a jeans and t-shirt guy since I'm a teenager. I can't, you know, you get occasional fresh to death jersey out of me, but when I go out, I clean up. You know, I got some nice suits and I got some nice shirts and nice dressy shirts. You know, Steph busts my balls all the time because Owen Phil, I would definitely take you out to lunch if you had Stephanie's body like in a Photoshop. Thank you, Matt. Appreciate it. You know, the other day we went out to dinner, and I was like,
you know, I said, yeah, I'm going to wear my baseball jersey to dinner. She's like, no, you're not. You're not going to a baseball game. So I said, you wear a leopard print out in public. You going to the zoo?
Yeah.
And she shot me the look, man.
Oh, women love their leopard print. You can't fucking
But it's
that
it's a thing on Staten Island, though. I had this conversation with your cousin Lisa a bunch of years ago. Like three, Lisa and I are sitting in, we were on in traffic, right? I'll never forget this. And I asked Lisa, I leaned over to her. I'm like, "What the fuck is this borough's obsession with pickup trucks and leopard print?" Mm-hmm. And she just looked at me. She's like, "What?" I'm like, "Either they have pickup trucks, and or the soccer mom's wearing like leopard print everywhere. I like the undergarments that you rock, you know." Yeah. You know, but anyway, I digress.
You don't question a leopard print.
Apparently on Staten Island, you can't do that.
Cannot question.
Apparently you can't. All right, ladies and gentlemen, are we ready for our throwback of the week? I think we're ready for our throwback.
We're ready.
We are ready. Let's do it. Let's play our throwback song of the week. Hold on.
And now, here is your throwback of the week, sponsored by the Shining Wizards Network and Rant EM Radio.
Oh, Shaylin heard the episode where myself, Mega Powers, and Shining Wizards Eddie did the Heroes of Wrestling pay-per-view.
Oh, yeah.
We reviewed that.
Oh, God, I watched that.
That's the courtship of Shining Wizards Eddie, the name of the show.
Oh, that is
that was a fucking great episode.
That pay-per-view was terrible.
Eddie called me up on Netflix. He's like, "Phil, am I doing throwback with you?" I'm like, "Yeah." He goes, "Can we do this?" I'm like, "I'm cool with it if Dave's cool with it." And Dave was like, "Fuck yeah, I'm cool with it." All right, we're kicking this back to June 23rd, 2002, almost 20 years to the day. Ride Your Life by Neurotica was the song. Snickers Cruncher was
sounds just like every other song from that era.
Snickers Cruncher was the sponsor. Ladies and gentlemen, we are kicking it from the Nationwide Arena in Columbus, Ohio. I think currently the Columbus Blue Jackets still play there.
Oh, okay.
But I think they're it's a different name now. I'm not sure.
It's probably a different name.
Yeah,
it's
probably no sponsor.
It's funny because like you hear of all these arenas that, you know, growing up, the Rosemont, the Gund. You know, and like they all change their names, and like it's hard.
To some corporate fucking bank.
Yeah, the Talking Stick and what's the one in the Crypto Stadium?
The Staples Center. Yeah, it was now it's called Crypto Stadium, Crypto.com Stadium.
Yeah.
And what about the one in New Orleans? They named it after like an ice cream. Oh, I forgot the name of it.
Baskin Robbins?
No, I forget. But yeah, man, it's like fucking Snow Cone Arena or something like that. All right, this is the 10th annual King of the Ring. That's what we're talking about right now.
I love the opening scene where they show Brett.
Oh, yeah.
They show Brett. They show Owen Hart. And then they just monkey flip right over Mabel, right to Austin.
It was the final King of the Ring. Yeah.
What happened to Mabel?
Oh, Mabel gets no love.
That was a big win.
That was an experiment, Jack. That was an experiment. This is the 10th one and the final pay-per-view of King of the Ring. And it was also the only one that had both brands on it.
Yeah, well, I mean, this is they tried something new. You got to go back to the Austin heel turn from the year prior, you know, and then a lot of stuff is happening behind the scenes. Like you said, we opened up the show with the Rock promo.
Well, did you see the Sunday Night Heat match?
No,
it was I watched it on YouTube. It was the Hardy Boys beating Raven and Stevie Richards. So, I'm sorry, go ahead.
Listen, Stevie Richards on Sunday Night Heat, we all know that was
a deal.
That was it.
That was a deal.
This was a trying time because this is, you're a year removed from buying your competition, and now you are, the shockwave is now setting in, and you have nobody you're going up against.
Leopard print, is it like an English family crest?
Yeah.
Shaylin, we did mention that we want to do a watch along with SummerSlam.
Yeah.
Yeah, and King Mabel was trash. Thank you.
We
get it. Carry on.
But you look at it, and this is definitely the aftermath of buying your competition and having nothing left. And the storyline's bad. Austin, you know, previous to him walking out, you know, went on WWE now, because they got the F out. He went on the BiteThisShow.com or whatever it was, and you know, basically just trashed the writing and said, you know, it's the storylining is bad and blah, 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 all this stuff. You know, Austin said it himself that he was just burnt out at this point, you know, and he was fucking run ragged hard and unhung out to dry. And, you know, he did the wrong thing, his opinion, my opinion as well, and kind of just left. And, you know, WWF did what they could at this point and clearly was putting the ball right on Brock Lesnar. They knew it right there and then. This dude was a fucking star.
This was Brock's coming out party when
you
think about it. Your opening match was the King of the Ring semifinal. How about this match?
It's the best match of the night.
I think so.
Best match of the night.
And it's very rare that a WWF pay-per-view opens the card with the match of the night.
Yeah.
It's very
That's
rare.
That's WCW.
That's WCW. That's cruiserweight shit.
And it shows you, I mean, listen, say what you want about Jericho. This guy is amazing. You could see him. You could put him in a ring with anybody. And the chemistry was there. Rob Van Dam at this point, and I'll say it, I said it then, he was the, you know, Okada, he was the Kenny Omega. He was the internet darling, even at this time.
You know, there are some people who were not convinced of that. There are people we know, Jay. I'm not going to mention names.
Yeah.
But there are people we know that we converse with on a daily basis, almost.
That's not being honest.
That don't believe Rob Van Dam was one of the best wrestlers in the world.
I'll make the case why he was, because it was new, it was trailblazing, it is the precursor to the style that I shouldn't say he was the precursor. Maybe that's not right, because All Japan really kind of really set that standard of the elongated
All
matches.
Japan, the strong style, and then the King's Road style, yeah.
But this is more of a hybrid. This is more choreographed. This is more worked out in the back. That's my opinion. So to me, I think, you know, you could see them calling it out. And this is Jericho. This is absolutely called by Jericho. I love it. Uh-oh.
Shaylin, I love leopard print. You got to wear it right. Ironically, where is Shaylin from?
Yeah, there you go.
Thank you.
It all fits.
Carry on.
But what a fucking match.
This is a fantastic match. This was great.
15, 16, 17 minutes.
14:32, Jay.
Around there, yeah.
You were close.
I knew it was close.
You were close.
I don't set the stopwatch.
I have the times. I didn't time it, dude.
Yeah. No. But I loved it. The right guy won. And then they do, you know, Rob Van Dam wins. And then they do, you know, all of a sudden, who runs into the ring? Was it Lawler? Lawler runs into the ring.
Yeah.
You know, and no one ever interviews in the ring after the match. So you can kind of see them already showing it. And Jericho attacks Rob Van Dam from behind. And, it puts him in the Lion Tamer or the Walls of Jericho.
You know, before we talk about Test and Rob and Brock, because obviously these are both semifinal matches. Brock beat Booker T and Test to get into the fucking finals.
Yeah.
I'm just putting that out there. All
well,
right?
I mean, listen, Booker
Van,
T.
Yeah, Van Dam beat Jericho.
Excuse me.
And he beat, who else did he beat? I forget. Oh, he beat Jericho and he beat X-Pac. So, I mean,
they were doing the right thing.
No, this tournament was, I mean, they had the first round in the quarterfinals on TV, which is dope. But this was the coming out party, man. You know, and I gotta tell you, people give Test shit, and this is where I wish Choppy was here, because Choppy even puts Test over a lot. We did back in the day. Test held his own.
He did. He was definitely pushed for other reasons. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And you know, he was always kind of, I don't want to say, you know, maybe forced down our throats, but he was always featured.
Yeah, he had that Kevin Nash stank on him. I think I feel like Vince wanted to get like his own diesel back.
If he was a better worker, you know, and he can get it, and he was passable by all means.
Yeah.
He had the great boot, you know. He had the elbow drop, but if he was a better worker, you know, we'd be probably saying different things about him.
If Test had a match of his life, it was the 8 minutes and 18 seconds he went with Brock Lesnar.
This was a good match. And it was designed, and like I said, I mean, at this point, Brock was going through guys very well. He went, I remember there was a match against Bubba. I think it was on Raw or something.
Well, Bubba was in the first round against Brock.
Yeah, that's what, okay. That's what it was.
Yeah.
And you know, that's a who's who.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And like I said, you know, Bubba was over 300 pounds. Test is every bit of 280 at this point. You know, you're putting him in size wise with good guys. He has, and like I said, this was a good match.
Yeah.
All in all.
No, I enjoyed it. So now your finals are set. It's going to be Rob Van Dam versus Brock Lesnar for King of the Ring. Your next match was for the Cruiserweight Championship.
Yeah.
The Hurricane. Stand back. There's a Hurricane coming through. Shane Helms taking on Jamie Noble and Nydia. Remember Nydia?
Oh, Nydia's all the way
she
alive.
Was she?
She was all
Wait
the way
a second.
Alive.
Wait a second, Mr. Jacob.
As soon as I seen her,
Wait
I go,
a
I
second.
Forgot about you.
Are you serious?
Oh, yeah.
All right, let's do it. We got to play it. We got to play the music. We have to. I mean, if she is. Whoa. Sorry. Nydia's all the way alive.
I forgot about her.
I forgot about her too.
Completely forgot about her.
Yeah. Tess is a better Van Hammer. Yeah. Oh,
great comparison.
All right. Jamie Noble, one of the best cruiserweight workers ever. Shane Helms was good at his craft. He was more of a character, and he proved it. This was a really good. So the storyline is Nydia was with the Hurricane.
When? Who knows, but at some point.
Was with the Hurricane, and she dropped him for Jamie Noble.
Yep.
And her and Jamie Noble had like this redneck fucking trailer park trash gimmick.
Love it.
And she was like the farmer's daughter wearing the fucking the poon shorts and
yeah.
And look like Daisy Duke. You know what I'm saying?
Loved it.
Yeah. So, yeah. All right. So she's all the way alive. This was a good match.
This was a great match.
11 minutes, 38 seconds. Jamie Noble does win the Cruiserweight Championship. But, you know, at this point in the game, the Cruiserweight Championship is on a down.
It means nothing.
Yeah. Sadly, you know.
Unfortunately.
Yeah, unfortunately. Because, you know, it's. And then you get your Taka Michinoku's in there, and you get a couple other guys that, you know, were passable, but not enough to put any pizzazz on a, it's a mid-card, you know, fucking belt at best. Right, Augie? He's awake now. He's awake from his nap.
Yeah.
Your next match was...
On paper, I was very excited.
Oh, my God.
And this match was very good.
Eddie Guerrero at his peak,
yeah,
literally at his peak, against the Nature Boy Ric Flair, who's fucking 50 at this point, 50-something years old. So,
and Flair, you know, listen, say what you want. I mean, and then we'll talk about another old-timer later on.
Yeah, yeah.
This match was good. I enjoyed it. I mean, Eddie Guerrero, you know, basically worked his ass off, but, you know, Flair sold for him the whole time.
He did. This match went too long, though, Jay.
I agree.
17 minutes even. It was weird because when the match started and Eddie was doing the whole walk around and Rick was trying to like, Rick couldn't, if it looked like Rick couldn't read him at first.
Yeah.
Eddie was like, you know, he was shucking and jiving and he looked like he was going to wrap, do a collar and elbow tie up, but he didn't do it. And it was like, oh, okay,
yeah.
Now we'll go. And, you know, Eddie Guerrero, people forget that he rolled around the mat with the best of them.
I mean,
he got stretched out by three older brothers. So it was like, Eddie Guerrero was one of the first popular hybrid wrestlers.
Big time.
Big time. And Flair did sell for him.
I mean, listen, say what you want about Ric Flair. Oh, that's, I knew I wanted to talk something about him, but we'll touch on it next week.
On what?
With Ric Flair, I know you listened to his podcast, but he was talking about Jay Lethal. Like,
oh, yeah, he had heat.
Apparently, there's a little heat between
them. Because Jay wanted to be on a pay-per-view.
Yeah.
And Flair said no.
Yeah.
Or whoever's booking it said no, and I'm like...
But how are you Ric Flair, right? And Jay Lethal's letting you into his wrestling school and... helping you work out
yeah,
you know,
yeah,
and then you just can't. You mean to tell me
he
you
told
can't
him he has no authority on it?
Meanwhile, he can't talk to his son-in-law and go, hey, you mind putting Jay Lethal on the fucking show?
No, you know what you're going to do? You're going to charge him $300 like you tried to charge us for fucking StarCast. Fuck you, Conrad. Ads free my balls. How about that?
But, yeah, I found that interesting this past week. But say what you want about Ric Flair. Maybe say a little bit now. But Ric Flair, good or bad inside the ring, always gave a lot to the opponent. Always.
Yeah. But why is he beating Eddie Guerrero in storyline, though?
That's the other side of this.
That's what chaps my ass.
Well, I mean, they're telling the story because Bubba comes in, and I didn't like the fact that it was the Bubba bomb. It should have been, like, I always liked the full Nelson Bubba bomb, but, I mean, as a finishing maneuver, I mean, you're basically just sitting down on your ass.
Yeah.
You know, it's almost like Big E's big ending. Like, I never understood how that could be a devastating maneuver.
You can't talk on the mic, buddy.
But to me, I really enjoyed the match, but you're right. I mean, in storyline-wise, Eddie should have won.
Correct.
They had just turned heel, him and Benoit. You know, you could have an easy storyline, and you can continue it.
You could have took 6 minutes off this match and gave it to fucking Molly Holly and Trish Stratus in the next match.
Absolutely.
You know, you want to talk about two old... for me, Molly Holly was always all the way live. She had that fat little Midwestern ass.
Yeah.
She can get it. But she actually... And Trish was on top of her game at this point.
Trish what are you doing? And this is the evolution of Trish, where she turns into just such a great worker.
Stratisfaction. And Molly Holly was a good worker, man.
Absolutely.
She can go. And she won the match. She won the title at 5 minutes and 41 seconds. Again, they could have shaved like 6 minutes off of fucking Flair and Eddie Guerrero. But you know what? When you think about stuff like that, and I'm watching the rest of it this morning, I'm like, you know, I could see why they gave Ric Flair and Eddie Guerrero 17 minutes, right?
Yeah.
Because it at the respect thing, and I guess maybe it was to showcase Eddie as a fucking superstar.
As a worker,
and if he can go with Flair at 50 years old, it's... Passes Adele's in the room.
Hey, now.
Oh, Passes in Sacramento. They made a good draft pick last night. They got the kid from... The kid from Midwood... was it Wisconsin? Not Wisconsin. They got the... They had a good pick last night. Knicks didn't do nothing last night, but that's besides the point. But the Kings picked fourth overall. But anyway... your next match was fun.
Yeah.
So, in storyline, Hulk Hogan wants to fight Vince McMahon. He's sick of his bullshit. Hogan's back now with the red and red and yellow, and he's got the feather boa, I didn't mean to hit you, buddy. And Vince's like, I'm not having it. You know, Kurt Angle had just lost his hair.
Yeah, he comes out with the wig.
So, when on TV, Angle jumps Hogan. Now Hogan wants Kurt Angle in a match. This was a little hard to watch.
I had actually seeked out, and I don't know if it was on his podcast or Kurt Angle, but I actually seeked out to see what he had to say about it. And he gives Hogan a lot of credit, and he's like, you know, I did a lot of my same moves. He goes, I did them slower, you know, I had to do them slower because of Hogan and what have you. But he's like, but at the end of the day, he goes, I did all my moves, and you could see it. And listen, Hogan took a few suplexes, which is, you know, took quite a few bumps there. To me, I didn't hate this match.
I didn't hate it, but you could have gave Trish and Molly a couple minutes off that. It went 12 minutes.
Well, like I said, I mean, you could trim Flair's match and give it to... I think this was the perfect... You know, maybe it was a little long, but it wasn't, you know, it wasn't terribly that long.
Nah, you know, it just...
It didn't drag, I should say.
When guys have to slow down... See, Flair didn't... Eddie didn't slow down for Flair.
That's the difference.
Right? But Hogan, you had to slow down for Hogan. You know what I'm saying? Like, come on, man. They're the same age almost.
But, you know, like I said, and there's something about it. You know, and they did the right thing. Hogan, you know, for all intents and purposes, did the right thing.
Yeah, he did the job. I mean, and by Angle's finisher. So yeah. That's even.
And he ripped him off the rope. You know, yeah. It told a good story. I enjoyed it. Could it have been shorter? It didn't drag too much, but it could have been a little bit shorter. But Hogan had his working shoes on.
And the King of the Ring final. Brock Lesnar defeats Rob Van Dam at 5 minutes and 42 seconds. My only complaint about this match was that they fucking pushed Rob Van Dam to the moon, but they were pushing Brock Lesnar a little more, right? So they only gave him not less than 6 minutes. I'm like, come on, they could have went 10 minutes with this. They could have, you know, let them get his moves in and whatever, and put him up again. And Heyman, the best part was Heyman getting involved.
Yes.
That was out of nowhere, too. Which that was, for me, the highlight of the match was him doing that, right? And then, what do you call it? It was all right. I mean, it wasn't a terrible match. I just wish it would have went longer. Uh-huh. You could have took 5 minutes off the 23 minutes and 44 seconds the next match had, you know?
Yeah. The main event, obviously, you know, got to go long, you know, for the title. You got to make it important.
Of course.
But Triple H was injured.
Yes.
And it plagued this match.
Yeah.
It plagued this match.
Yeah, Taker, it was 23 minutes. It was the Undertaker against Triple H for the Undisputed Heavyweight Championship. Taker the champ at this point, if I'm not mistaken.
Yep.
And like Jay said, come to find out later on that Triple H
was
hurt.
It was his elbow.
He had his elbow taped up. I think he injured it or he had a staph infection. I forget what happened to his elbow.
Yeah.
But it was heavily taped. They made mention of it in the match, actually. JR and King did.
Yeah.
Little subtleties with him and with King and JR. They were the yin and yang, but once in a while, they'll give you some insight that they're not supposed to. Like, they'll nonchalantly mention that Triple H was playing hurt.
Yeah.
Because it wasn't in the storyline.
Exactly.
You know, if so he mentioned it, and you're like, wait a minute, that didn't happen on Raw.
But like I said, I mean, I bet you can probably accredit that to Jim Ross because of, you know, the whole sports feel.
Yeah.
You know, if you're an outside linebacker and you're showing up to a football game.
Yeah.
And your elbows are all taped up. You know, a commentator doing their job is going to call it out and be like, oh, well, what's going on with the star number one guy?
Right.
You know, but I thought it was good. You know, obviously The Rock came out. As soon as The Rock came out, the crowd really, I don't want to say got kind of lost interest in the match, but it kind of lost interest in the match because they were more worried about what The Rock was doing. And like I said, I mean, it took away from the match in and of itself.
Yeah.
And then at the end where everybody's hitting their finish and the music is going on,
yeah.
Like I said, Taker had to, you know, he had to stand tall. But it was kind of, it was a little bizarre. It was a little kind of erratic, you know, if you want to say anything, erratic storyline writing, erratic, you know, everything. I didn't, it kind of lost me. This is where, you know, 2002, we didn't really have the cell phones that we had, but if this came out now, in the middle of the match, you'd be picking up your cell phone, checking what's going on in the world, you know?
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, and, you know, it's just the chemistry was off, and they normally have good chemistry, these
yes.
guys. Him, Triple H, Shawn Michaels, Mick Foley, Kane, I'll throw Kane in there for
yeah.
For you know, for a filler. But, you know, no chemistry.
Yeah. Ooh.
Excuse me, I'm sorry.
I've
been up since 4 a.m., I apologize.
Big one.
Anyway, wasn't Triple H? I just said that, Shaylin. Are you not paying attention?
And then, like you said,
elbow
and then,
injury.
That and you know, the ref bumps. You know what I mean?
Well, I mean that always happens though. That was
it was just excessive to me. You know,
listen, I've seen worse.
Yeah.
You know, you ask fucking any longer than expected Ric Flair match with Tommy Young. That poor guy. That poor guy bumped fucking more than Ricky Morton sometimes.
Oh yeah.
You know. But yeah, I mean, listen, this was Brock's coming out party.
Yep.
You know, and this was probably the, you know, Austin, the real deal now is Austin because he walks out for real.
Yep.
Because he wants to win the King of the Ring and he gave it to Brock and he didn't want to job to Brock. And he admits it years later that it was a fucking bad move.
Yeah.
Because, you know, at the end of the day, The Rock saves the company.
Absolutely.
In storyline. You know, because he leaves. And then they cut these promos on him. Like, that the promo we played in the beginning, that was a shoot, man.
Yeah.
They were like, you know what? You don't want to do it? We got guys in the back that'll do it. You don't want to do it? We'll do it. You say it, we'll do it. And you know what? It's that attitude that made Vince a billionaire.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, I mean, like I said, I mean, just to kind of put a bow on the pay-per-view, I enjoyed the pay-per-view for what it was. You know what I mean? There's not much to it. To me, it was only a 2-3 match card.
It was a filler King of the Ring, as Matt was. I enjoyed the card.
Yeah.
I enjoyed the card. I enjoyed it. I haven't seen this in 20 years, so this was cool. I've seen clips of Brock Lesnar because I watched the Here Comes the Pain recently, the documentary.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I've never seen it.
No, it's good. Oh, wow. Matt Squires. And then his wife checks in. You want a long break or what? Wow. Wifey's got tabs on him. He's working. It's a little earlier in California, so.
This is true.
Yeah. He can multitask, though, Mrs. S.
Yeah.
Matt's a multitasking fool, you know?
We've seen it firsthand.
Yes, we have. Anything else before we go?
No, I think that's it, brother.
That's it. All right. So I'm not paying $200 for Ric Flair's shit this weekend. I'm going to bootleg it. I refuse to pay.
It's
the whole package is $200. You get the
it's at the end of the month.
I thought it was the this weekend.
No, it's SummerSlam.
SummerSlam. Okay. Yeah. Okay, my bad. I'm not paying $200 for it though.
Oh, that's like the Fight Club.
That's the package. Fight. Yeah, you get the card itself, you get the roast, you get the StarCast shit. Fuck.
That's expensive. I paid for the first one or the second one. I forget which one I paid for, and it wasn't $200. I think it might have been $50.
All right. Listen, guys, next week is 4th of July weekend. I don't know if we're going to be on.
Yeah, we're going to kind of call it by ear.
I don't have anything going on right now, but I'm sure something will pop up and, you know, whatever.
True.
But and I know Jay normally goes camping and stuff like that on that time of the year, so if we don't come on, two things will happen. Either you get a filatorial or you'll have to wait another week. You all know the social media handles. Anchor FM and .com is where you get all the gimmicks.
Yeah.
And ProWrestlingTees.com/TurnbuckleThrowbacks could be a mark, buy a shirt. And I think that's it for us. We hope you have a great rest of your weekend.
Enjoy the weekend.
Enjoy the pay-per-view, man.
Oh, yes. Big time.
Yeah, man.
AEW Forbidden Door.
Yeah, Forbidden Door. Say goodnight, Gracie.
Goodnight, Gracie.